My parents went and bought a secondhand piano and took it from there. I loved to poke around on everybody's piano and did most of my playing by ear.
Okay.
Yeah. And I figured out what later in my studies I learned in a textbook, but I had it all figured out, the movable do, and could listen to songs on the radio and pick them out. That came in handy because in high school I was in a choir and we sang contemporary tunes, and a lot of times the music wasn't out yet. So
okay.
I would just figure it out.
Okay.
Yeah, I loved it. I loved the theory. Most of the group lessons was spent teaching us theory of music,
mm-hmm.
giving us homework so that one at a time she could take us up to the piano. Well, nowadays that isn't necessarily considered group. That would be 5 minutes of instrumental private lesson.
Mm-hmm.
Each student would be doing a private 5 minutes with this
okay.
teacher. But I teach group, and when I teach group, everyone's playing at the same time. That's very different.
Okay. About high school, you're in choir.
Mm-hmm.
At some point or another, you must have made a decision that music is going to be it.
Actually, no.
No?
Everyone in grade 13 was deciding where they were going to go
mm-hmm.
away to school or what they were going to do. I
yeah.
still didn't know what I wanted to do. I had been working on my ARCT. Didn't consider that the destination, though. I didn't think that that was where I would spend my... make my job at
mm-hmm.
that,
yeah.
at performing and teaching. And since I didn't know which one I wanted, I ended up doing both.
Which is?
Teachers and the performers.
Okay.
At the time, you registered for one or the other, and I took a year after grade 13 to do both. So I was learning 23 pieces that year in my repertoire, and it was a heavy year. And I remember going into the exam, and the two examiners couldn't believe that I was coming right back in the room right after, because I just spent 2 hours with them already.
Uh-huh.
So that was very worthwhile. I really enjoyed preparing for that. Striving for recitals. And,
mm-hmm. and then what?
And then what? I had a few more written subjects to complete. So, as I said, a year after grade 13, I spent that year working on my teacher's performers and 5 written subjects. And I had met my soon-to-be husband. He was living in Toronto.
Mm.
So
were you in Toronto when all this was taking place?
All of it was here.
Oh, I see. Okay.
All of it was in Thunder Bay. I did have to travel for my grade 10 piano. I had to go on a for a train ride to Sudbury because they would only send certain levels of examiners to the center if you were being examined for grade 10 or AR. And I was the only one in that session, so they weren't going to send someone down for me. I had to go and find a center where I could be examined.
What age were you?
I was in grade 12 at school, so that would be what? 17.
Around there, okay, grade 12.
Mm-hmm. And
sorry,
I'm jumping all around.
Mm.
This is not very chronological.
That's okay.
So when I was finished after the year after OAC or grade 13,
mm-hmm.
I knew I was going to be marrying my husband, and he wasn't quite finished his schooling at the U of T. So
okay.
we decided that we'd get married, and then I'd move there. Well, I didn't have a piano when I got there.
Mm.
So I taught in a church basement, and I went through a big withdrawal. I had worked up to 6 hours a day preparing
right.
for the exams, and then no piano at home to just sit down.
So you're in Toronto.
So I was in Toronto living in an apartment. And
and you're roughly 19 years old by this
20.
time? 20. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I got married at 20 and moved right away to Toronto within a few months.
Okay. And no piano?
And no piano. Well, like I say, kind of withdrawal there. So I was lucky, 2 churches let me go and practice at their place.
Mm-hmm.
And when my husband graduated, he got his job, and we right away, that day he got his job, we went out looking at pianos.
Mm.
That was very important to both of us that I had that. So, and that's the piano that's in my living room now.
Yamaha.
Yeah.
Mm.
She's a beauty.
All right, you've bought a piano.
So I started teaching in this new, and plus we moved to a new apartment.
Oh.
Yeah, a lot of changes once he got a job.
Wow, I guess.
And I was working at the Royal Bank downtown Toronto. So I was really glad to have a few students. And before long, we didn't stay there too much longer. We moved to Regina for 6 months. Mm-hmm. And then when we had the opportunity to move back here, we did.
Mm-hmm.
And it was interesting that I left just months after getting married. So I had taught here as Campbell. And when I came back as Potts, the name, nobody would recognize that name as in the music field anyway.
Just to be sure, you moved back to the Lakehead within about a year of moving to Toronto, or a couple of years?
Within three.
Okay.
Under 3 years.
Okay. Go ahead.
Because I had accompanied the Lakehead Choral Group as Campbell, and done some ensemble work with people in town, especially around festival time.
Mm-hmm.
Going back a little bit, just I was involved in the festival and received scholarships and was sent to Hamilton the year I was married to represent Thunder Bay the regional festival, or pardon me, the Ontario festival. And I had just been married 2 weeks, so my husband came with me.
Oh, that's good.
And I was to accompany Claren Edison, a singer, and it was really hectic getting around the time of my wedding, preparing for all of this and rehearsing with the other people. So that was something that I'm very proud of, my involvement in that.
Okay. Now, can you give me the year that you've returned now to the Lakehead?
1980.
Okay. That helps, because then from now on, now we're going to get more and more recent.
Mm-hmm.
Just basically sketch what you did in the next, say, 10 years. Because I think the most...
Got pregnant. On the way here.
Do you want to
say that, no.
Okay.
But...
Just say became mother.
Yeah.
Sure. How many children do you have?
I have two.
Okay. They can be named or not as you wish, but...
Sure. Jennifer.
J-E-N-N-I-F-E-R,
mm-hmm.
And?
Trevor.
Who is the elder?
Jennifer.
Well, obviously Jennifer is 20.
Yes, she will be in
that
a month.
That was easy, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I just loved teaching and working with little children. I spent a lot of time with my children, and that's what spurred me into teaching music to young children. I was teaching kinder music here for over 12 years.
Mm-hmm.
12 and a half years.
Music with a K?
Yes. Both ends. Kinder music. Yeah.
Okay. Oops. Mm-hmm. Brings us to roughly 92, but you did more than that during that period. Being a mother, of course. But
yes.
Other things too, I'm sure.
Yeah. Well, I started this kinder music in my own, in a business in my own home.
Okay.
So I would teach piano after school and kinder music in the evening.
Okay.
And watching my children during the day. So that was about all I could handle at the time.
That's enough.
And not even finding enough time to really practice the way I'd want to practice. I found that when I got to the piano, my kids would start acting up just like you do when you get on the phone. The kids start to want your attention. So, yeah.
What level piano did you have by this time?
I was finished. I had done my...
Grade 12, is that?
It goes up to grade 10 and then it splits off into teachers and performers.
Yes, okay. So you had...
So
that was it.
I completed that. I had, while I was living in Toronto, I did study with Anton Generel over at the Royal Conservatory. I did keep up my studies, but I found it really hard without a piano in the house to practice. So again,
running
to the church all the time.
Okay.
But I hadn't really gotten back into public performing yet. No, that's not true. I did the Lakehead Choral Group again when I was pregnant with my kids,
okay.
too.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I remember when the timpanis were going, the baby was awake.
Okay, Lakehead Choral Group.
Yeah.
Sorry to interrupt. Pardon.
I accompanied students in the festival,
mm-hmm.
and didn't do any solo work. I just didn't have the time. Kinder music was
sure
very absorbing of
That's,
time.
Now you did, I guess it's fair to say you did a fair amount of this kind of thing, working around your schedule and
mm-hmm.
doing the best you could, but I noticed that Kinder music was 12 years. That brings mm-hmm. you to about 92. When your children
actually,
were
Kinder music started in 88 until
about 1990.
90, just 2 years ago. So, no, 87. It was 87, fall
oh.
of 87, to, because that's when my kids were about the age of Kinder music.
Oh, I assume
so that's
that
when
you
I
had
started,
started
to
in
do.
1980.
Oh, no.
Okay.
When my children were of age to
that makes
be
sense.
Involved in music, I pursued. It would have been 99. Yeah, it was just,
mm-hmm.
it was 2 years ago right now. January mm-hmm. of 99 was my last lesson.
At some point, you know, having a daughter, I have some understanding of this too, that the children become of an age where you can just a little bit start to do more things.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened there? When did that occur?
I expanded Kinder music.
Oh.
It just took over. I had like 9 classes running.
Oh my.
And some of them were an hour and a half long. And so, and then the set up and take down. So
mm-hmm.
I found that with all my students. For instance, 2 years ago, when I went away with Joanne, I had to make 90-something phone calls to cancel so that I could go on the road with her. So I had quite a... That kept me busy enough.
mm-hmm. Yeah, the admin alone was amazing.
I know. People don't see that half of it, but...
No. Let's, about when did you start to...
Do more performing?
Yeah. I guess that's really kind of where I was going with it.
3 years ago, my friend Glenn Patterson...
How do you spell his name?
One N in Glenn and one T in Patterson. Yeah, we laugh. I'm two N's, two T's. He's one N, one T.
Okay.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
They were doing, he's involved in a group called Broadway Round with Joanne
oh, yeah.
Waitowich.
Of course, yes.
And Marcella Smithers. And Marcella was unavailable for one of their functions and asked me if I would do it. And I said, oh, sure, I'd love to. And from then, I bug bit me. I loved performing, especially with their voices. They'd come to my house to rehearse, and they'd sing standing a few feet behind me, and I'd just be shaking, trembling, how I just... It was so different than being a solo performer. And at a time when Marcella was unable to continue with, I don't know if you would want to even put that in there, though, that her health was not... she had pneumonia.
Oh, I see.
And she couldn't go on tour. She'd opened the tour with
right.
Joanne.
This was I Can Sing Canada.
Yeah, I Can Sing Canada.
She was the kind of the original...
She was the original Marusha.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And she was... Joanne had embarked on the first days of her tour, and it was opening here in Dorian.
Mm-hmm.
And she phoned me crying on the phone one lunch hour, just bawling her eyes out. And I'd only known her through playing with Broadway Bound.
I think it's fair to say that for whatever reason, Marcella was unable to complete the tour. And that's fair enough to say.
She had just opened it,
yeah.
like just done a performance in Dorian, and found out she had pneumonia, and Joanne was crying like, my whole life has been planning this great thing, and now what am I going to do?
Okay.
Do you know of anyone who would drop their life and go on the road with me? And I said, off the top, anyone I know is either involved with the church or has their own business and, or is teaching. And she was crying. And I said, well, just a minute, I'll call you right back. So I got off the phone, my husband was home for lunch. And I told him the situation, and he said, it doesn't sound to me like you're asking if you should go. It sounds to me like you're asking, how do I tell my students? So I didn't see it that way, and I thought it was very interesting that the desire must have been there all along, and funny, they're doing that. That night they were doing a performance in Thunder Bay at Presvita. So she said, well, please, if you can come. So I canceled my lessons, showed up, Marcella, poor Marcella, fortunately didn't have a speaking part because she was just...
Right.
And I went backstage afterwards, I fit the shoes, I fit the dress, the music was easy for me to read. I spent the next day phoning and canceling my 90 students and practicing the piano, and the next morning I was on the road. Never having been on stage before in that capacity. And if you'd known me as a child, I was so shy.
Mm.
You know, couldn't even look you in the eye. So,
and this Joanne said much the same thing of herself.
Did she?
Well, remember I interviewed her for...
Yes, yeah. I didn't realize she was shy. I thought she was always outgoing.
Well, let's just say there is a current of shyness there, very strong. Now, just can you spell Marushka for me to make sure I got it right?
M.
Oh dear, I didn't get that. That's okay. The main focus will be your last 2 to 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some background, fair amount on that, and then where are you going from there?
Mm-hmm.
Quick acting lesson. And then how did Schreiber go?
Excellent. Mm. Excellent. I was very stiff when I was walking out, but I think it was just nerves.
Wow.
And later Joanne says to me, you don't have to be an old lady. All I could think of was playing the right notes and moving the right props. I couldn't imagine about my stage presence. But afterwards, people came up to us when we were taking down the set and said, in many of the centers, you don't look a bit like your picture, because it was Marcella's picture. And I said, well, no, I just found out 2 days ago that I was doing this. This is my first time on stage. What? Mm. You're kidding. So, must have been okay.
And it felt good to you.
It did. Okay. It did. I was really surprised at myself.
Okay. So you toured.
So we toured. It was a little short, 8 days. Actually, it seemed long at the time, but when you think back on it, 8 days isn't very long to tour. Then we took a break at Christmas. So we got home at the end of November, and she said to me, I'm thinking about writing a second show. And I want it to be a musical. And I don't want to use other people's music. I want to write my own. So, would you work with me on this? So, Ivanka Delivers the Goods was being conceived at this time, and she said, I guess it was the first week of December, I've been accepted to play in Calgary for a one-hour version of Ivanka Delivers the Goods. We need 5 songs. And I said, you're touring when? In less than 2 months. I said, you want me to write the songs? When are we rehearsing? End of December. So we had 3 weeks, with Christmas in the middle of it all, to write the 5 songs. And musicians are busy at Christmas, even at the, in a simple, you know, schedule. So we did it. I'm surprised we did it. And we went into rehearsal. I went with her to Calgary. It was a month. And while we were in Calgary, we'd sit in the sauna some nights we'd sit in the sauna and we'd be humming tunes and then running back upstairs to our room and putting it down on the sequencer, because we were coming up with the other 5 songs that were needed to open in March. And I didn't know till the end of February. I thought they were getting someone else to play that part because I wanted to go back to my teaching. I'd missed a lot of the year so far.
Sure.
And
you were Hanusha by this time.
Well, for this show I was. Yeah, yes. That's right. Ivanka Delivers the Goods was Hanusha. And the reason for that, I find out later, I kept asking, why where I was asking, why am I not Marusha again? And I think they thought that my presence on the stage was slightly different than Marcella's, and that Marcella would be coming back.
Oh, okay.
So they were thinking we'll make her a cousin who doesn't speak. And
Marcella never did come back, did she?
Not to Joanne's shows.
Mm.
No.
Okay.
She's played, I think, once or twice with Broadway Bound since.
Ah.
And has a full life with her five kids and
sure.
her involvement in her church music. So.
Okay. So here you are.
So we've got the 10 songs, and we're here in Calgary and having a great run, and it was just, people were sitting in the aisles. It was so packed in Calgary, which was good for Joanne's show because, well, good for both of us because then we knew it would be received well at Thunder Bay. So.
How long was that run in Calgary?
A month, full month.
Wow. Just?
Yeah. 4 weeks. That's longer than a Magnus run.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Magnus is 3.5.
That's right.
And this was a full 4 weeks.
Go ahead.
So, end of February, we were packing up to come home, and she was going to rehearsal on the next Friday and didn't have anyone to play her sidekick. So I thought, okay, I'll do it.
This is for the third show now, is that right?
This was the second show, but it previewed, it opened in Calgary.
Of course.
And right. Then it was expanded to close to 2 hours
okay.
to Thunder Bay. So she didn't have anyone to do that. And I knew half the show already, and I had written the music, so obviously I would be able to play it. So I, 8 days before rehearsal, said, okay, I'll do it. And didn't know what I was getting into. And I loved it. I loved it. And it was held over. It was brought back again in the summer.
Mm-hmm. And this brings us to roughly March 99.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
March and April. It ran.
Okay.
And fortunately, it was put at the end of the season, so it was held over. They had time to hold over the show. And then they brought it back in the summer. And it ran for 4 weeks in the summer, which is unusual to have it run 8 weeks
right.
in such a short time period. Full houses. It was so exciting. Stage, like the first show, I was pretty well planted behind the piano.
That's right.
And
yeah,
I moved a few props, but not quite to the extent of of working the cameras, the video stuff in Delivers the Good. And Choose the Fat, I don't know,
you
might
know,
have been about the same,
place.
But not, I don't think as much, not as much as Delivers the Good. Delivers the Good, I felt like an octopus. And, just running, moving things, handing off things, taking
That's
stuff
right
off
too,
stage.
Yeah.
Then we had the crazy explosion at the end. We were setting up the satellite hookup.
Right,
and
right,
so that was a lot of...
And you had to throw blackface on
yes,
fast.
Yes, off stage in the dark. Yeah, that was fun. Yeah, we laugh about some of the corny things that happened on stage that weren't supposed to happen. And I remember one day my shoe broke. And I'm standing backstage putting the black makeup on while someone's gaffer taping my shoe because I got to go back out in a split second. So we've had lots of good fun. At the time it was stress, but now it's hilarious.
You mean gaffer tape, red-green tape?
Yeah, the yeah,
duct tape.
That's it, duct tape. It comes in different colors for,
right.
for the... theater. And so I found that one to be very, very busy. I didn't have to read the music because I knew the music.
Oh, okay.
But I left the script up in front of me at all times because Joanne has the beauty of her shows, of Joanne's shows, is that improv is incorporated into a script. Now that makes it a little more difficult for, say, the stage manager to call the show. because she might go off on a tangent with someone in the audience, and then, oh, up the lights go, and you're sort of on hold here.
Yeah.
Let's see what she's going to do with this.
I remember she brought a guy up.
And sometimes if she gets responses or people are bantering with her, she'll carry that through.
Mm-hmm.
Or if she may move on to something that's working right now with the audience.
Right.
And so here I am. It's not in the script. Where are we going? It's like going into...
You need to be alert.
Oh, I have to know exactly what to anticipate, and should anything happen, or if she turns
mm-hmm.
to me with a look, I have to know what the look means. So I found that every night was a different show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. She had a script, but
well,
it was always augmented.
Room to move in it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that was fun.
Mm-hmm.
And then I thought that it was over for that. And
mm-hmm.
I did some Broadway bound performances through the year, private parties and the summer in the parks, and
oh, yeah.
in the summer we also did the Old Fort, which was an annual concert. We prepared so much for that. It was a 2 hour at least,
mm-hmm.
new material every year. So if you can imagine
mm-hmm.
how much practicing and
yeah.
rehearsal for all of us to learn that much new material.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought my life was going back to being
mm-hmm.
piano teacher. That wasn't the case. She did tour last year with someone else, as I told her I wouldn't be available. And then when she was planning her next show, Ivanka Choose the Fat, she asked me if I'd like to work again on the music, and I
mm-hmm.
said I'd love to. So when that one was mounted in the summer, Magnus usually brings back successful shows in the summer. They don't
right.
usually mount
mm-hmm.
new ones. And so it was a bit of a risk for everyone. And I'm off in the summer. I only teach during the school year, so
mm-hmm.
I was available. And
and this was for Choose the Fat?
Yeah.
Okay.
So this would have meant we were working on it in the spring of 2000. Actually, late spring. It was the month before the show went on. And we hit a few dry spots. One, I remember one Saturday, we both sat there and we just couldn't get this song. We've written it three different ways. And
uh-huh.
We didn't like it. And Mario didn't care. It didn't feel that it matched where it was placed in the show.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, if you hit some dry spells and you think, oh my goodness, we got to be up and going in a couple of weeks, and we haven't got this. So there was a bit of unusual stress for me. Now, improv people love that kind of spontaneity and stress, but performers like to be prepared, so
yeah.
There was a...
I don't know if it's germane, but which song was the troublesome one? Or
it ended up being an opera, because it was almost 6 o'clock. We were ready to break for the week,
yeah.
or one day off. Mario walked in the room and she went, oh, I can't get the music. And he said, what do you mean you can't get the music? Well, we don't know. We've tried an oom-pa-pa band. We've tried
uh-huh.
a Negro spiritual. We've tried this, this, this. And he
mm-hmm.
says, well, that's it right there. It's opera. You just...
Blur it out.
Yeah.
Wow.
So we okay. went home the next day on our own and pulled a... Each of us tried a few things and...
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we start with one set of words and I'd get music that goes with that. And
right.
We worked together in many different ways. The first, when we did Ivanka Delivers the Goods,
mm-hmm.
she gave me the tunes on a tape recorder like this one,
mm-hmm.
singing them, and I sat at the piano and found accompaniments to go with them.
Okay.
That was one style, and I had asked her, if we work together again, I'd like you to just give me the lyrics. Put your own tunes on your tape, but give me a chance to play with the lyrics alone, and then I'll play for you what I came up with, and you can sing what you came up with. And sometimes we'd use mine,
mm-hmm.
sometimes we'd use hers, sometimes
mm-hmm.
a hybrid, and there were days where you'd swear we were in a stupor if he'd come in the door and heard us at the piano, we were just, we were on a roll. Let's keep going. Let's do this.
Right, right.
Put it on tape, quick, before we forget it. And that was it. We'd have to keep a tape running because we would forget a lot of what we were.
Oh, sure.
We'd just ramble into new areas. And
so that you don't forget inspirations, eh?
Yeah, they come spur of the moment.
They sure do. Okay. Oops.
So that was fun. And we did Ivanka Choose the Fat. And wait a minute. I want to make sure this is in the right order. Oh, yes. So that was in the summer.
Mm-hmm.
We did Delivers the Goods.
No, that would have to be.
Yeah,
that
it was the summer before. Okay,
yeah.
And then I took the year off, and we did Broadway Bound, and then coming into the summer, we did Choose the Fat.
Sure.
Then September, we went away to Calgary for another month for Choose the Fat.
All right. Mm-hmm.
We came home for a couple weeks, and we showcased at the Edmonton. Actually, before we came home, we showcased in Sherwood Park, Alberta, for the Alberta. I don't know if you're acquainted with Showcase. It's something that goes on every year in each province, and the it's like a trade show for.
Oh, I see.
For shows.
Mm-hmm.
People like the auditorium would go.
Sure.
And they'd purchase the shows. Now, all of the shows that wanted to have booths, that was fine. But only certain ones were selected to showcase. So she was selected. We had 15 minutes to get up on that stage and try and sell her. She was still trying to sell her first show at West because they hadn't seen her first show.
Mm.
So we showcased that for a 15-minute spot. And then
the first show you showcased?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know that you're going to want to put all this.
No, it might. I may not, but it's good to have the background.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because she still promotes it in pretty well in order. She may not after... Now that she's done all three, may say, well, this one's more appropriate for your... But she was showcasing number one.
Right.
And we had just finished number three in Calgary, and we were going on tour with number two and one. So it was, it was amazing that we could... We'd look at each other when we'd be in rehearsal, and we'd think... Because I don't read music when I play. So I'd look at her, and she'd look at me, and... Gee, I know that's the Gilbert and Sullivan one, but which show?
Yeah.
Which song is this?
Okay.
So, it was a lot to keep. It was a lot to keep on top of. And this tour that we're leaving in 2 weeks on is actually. I don't think this should go in the paper, but anyway,
that's fine.
We'll be touring the show from Elliott Lake down to west to Fort Frances.
Will you be through Thunder Bay?
No, people have already asked us that, and we won't be.
Well, that's okay. Yeah, I don't. Need
this is where we're heading: Elliott Lake, Shafloe, Wawa. Manitowoc, Marathon, Fort Frances, Kenora, Red Lake, and I'm not sure about Zoo Lookout because there was talk that that wasn't going to be on the end.
Okay.
But that's...
Now, you mentioned to me before, let's see, this will bring you back probably the end of, February?
Of this month, of this year. This tour will finish in February.
Okay. Now... You mentioned something about giving Joanne notice, and I guess it's germane to kind of go into, well, I guess that means temporarily or perhaps permanently you're saying goodbye to...
No, I don't even want anyone knowing that.
Okay, fair
enough.
Fair
The reason is nothing is... I can't see myself touring.
Okay.
Going in and out of a vehicle. Sleeping in a different place every night. That's very, very tiring.
Sure.
I have such a greater appreciation for musicians and artists that are on the road now.
Yeah.
And all the people that are behind the scenes. Wow. Just have no concept. And it's difficult changing, not just changing time zones, and it's eating habits and sleeping patterns, and like your energy has to be up at 8 o'clock. Well, most people is it's going down.
True.
And we tend to want to have something to eat afterwards, and of course, living off the on the road, you're living eating in restaurants all the time, so it's a whole different life. I'm very, very close to family and friends and my students. I'm very connected with a lot of people, and found that a month away was hard for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, is it fair to say that you don't want to tour after this for a while?
Yes, I won't be touring with her, is all that I can say.
Yeah,
I won't
that,
be touring
fair.
With her next year.
Mm-hmm.
Let me shut that off for a second. Things like sewing, and right now I'm finishing up putting Joanne's music into print. Because you see, I didn't play for music, so I didn't need it printed out.
Mm-hmm.
And I have it all on computer now, and I'm just tweaking the final touches on it so I can put it into print for her. So should anything ever happen to me, someone could play the music. Pretty risky, eh? Going up there with no music.
Yes. Well, I'm an ear musician, so I know where you're coming from. But, wow. Well, what will you do then if you're not touring? And I guess that's a
I love my students. I miss them so much. I sent them all postcards when I was away, and I know that they appreciate it because I've met up with some of the parents. And I don't consider my teaching an appointment time. I am fortunate to be with other people who want to learn. And I'm fortunate that they chose me to share it with them. So we become good friends, and for children or students in general, they're usually in a group. They don't have one-on-one with me, which I really enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
I get into them. I get deep into them, and we talk about feelings and emotions and things that don't... That's what I love about my job.
Mm-hmm.
I have to call it a job.
That's what I say. I love my job.
So I want to do. I want to get reconnected with those people, and it's really hard to let them go to someone else. I'd watched them grow from Kinder Music, like some of them, since they were three, on up, and I just hand them to another teacher while I go away. That was really, really something.
About the last question I have, to pick up on something you were saying before, is about being a shy child. And here you are up on the stage. You're not only writing it, you're not only helping arrange it, workshopping the whole thing, you're acting it, and you're touring it with all that that involves. Mm-hmm. Very, very public. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
What has being Hanusha... Is it only Hanusha, or is it Marusha as well?
Both. Marusha was in shows
both.
1 and 3,
of course,
and Hanusha was in show 2.
Yeah, that's good. That's much better. Marusha is 1 and 3, and Hanusha is show 2.
Mm-hmm.
Good. What has this meant for you as a person? How has this expanded or made you grow as a person, this experience?
I have been very lucky to have chosen a line of work that I can have fun. That I even look at the piano teaching as the same thing. I am my own boss, and I can make up my own schedule. When I agreed to go to Magnus, I agreed to go to their schedule, and I wasn't the boss. And I'm still having fun. I always dreamt what would it be like to be on a stage. Never thought I had what it took, but I realized with a very specialized or specific musical gift that they were calling upon for these shows, that I was able to participate in. I grew as a person. I now can go back and teach my students about opera.
Mm. Good point.
Because basically these, and even videos that last 2 minutes on the TV, they're all little operas. You've got the song, the dance, the costuming, the scenery, the direction. So it's made me understand. I can't imagine how big an opera must have been 200 years ago to put on, you know? It must have been a bigger ordeal than now, because now we can get electronic things to remember things for us. And back then, everything had to be rewritten and each part written out. And so I have a greater appreciation. I sit and pick out things for myself, but now other people are going to hear it. That was a very big risk I was taking. I wasn't used to having people respond to my work with a critique.
Mm.
Like, I was very nervous about being criticized.
Okay.
I was, and now I feel stronger about myself because what I've heard is good things, and also learned that that being a wife and a mother and a daughter and a sister was more important than a lot of other things in my life. That was probably the biggest thing this tour taught me.
Would it be fair to say you learned to value relationships? I don't want to put words in your mouth, but that's a distillation of what you just said.
Mostly family. Like, that family meant family's the biggest, my highest priority.
Okay, fair enough.
Because I was away from them. That's why I learned that. Can't say that just going on the stage here in Thunder Bay taught me that, no. But the touring taught me that family, and the absence of family.
Mm-hmm. Say, by and large, the really interesting things are the things that we think to be obvious, because they turn out to actually have a deep structure which is very complicated.
Mirrors, you look very closely at the representation of mirrors in art.
Mm.
Why are mirrors so compelling to artists? I mean, they keep coming back to them.
Well, there are many reasons why mirrors are important and interesting to artists, and they're important and interesting to artists because for the same reason that they're important and interesting to us. First of all, because they're useful utensils. They enable us to do things which we couldn't do, like looking in one direction and seeing in another, driving mirrors, for example. It also enables us to do something which we wouldn't know anything about if they didn't exist, like see ourselves. Now, seeing ourselves is actually quite startling, because if you cannot see anything more than the tip of your nose without the aid of a mirror, and then you only have to infer you have a nose from the fact that most of the people who you think belong to the same species have got them too, it's quite surprising when you actually confront the reflection to discover, well, I've got a nose of that sort, have I? No wonder people talk about my big conch. I can't see how big my conch is. Having it is not enough to tell me what size it is. So that people have got very interested in it for that reason. And then it becomes, of course, a metaphorical device for talking about vanity. People who spend too much time looking in mirrors are delighted by their own reflection, and therefore it becomes the symbol of self-regard, of exorbitant self-regard. But it then becomes a metaphor also for self-knowledge. And therefore it's acquired these connotations in the iconography of art. It's both vanitas and prudence hold mirrors in their hands. And again, once again, it shows the extraordinary versatility of the metaphorical imagination, that human beings are so distinctive in holding and exploiting.
You use pictures to demonstrate perception, and then perception as a clue to pictures.
Yes.
And I'm interested in that interface between the psychology of perception and the world of art. Were there surprises for you in the way that they informed each other?
Well, of course, one is constantly being surprised by the thoughts that you have about things, because that's what makes any investigation interesting. Oh, it works like that, does it? Is that what it's about? I've become very interested recently in another subject about which I'm writing a book, which I don't think I'll make an exhibition out of. But I'm interested in looking. Now, people say, well, you know, of course people are looking in pictures. Well, I'm very fascinated by something which is actually rather interesting about looking, which looks or it seems to be self-evident, but it's not self-evident. Why is it that eyes are so indicative? Why is it that, for example, we talk about the eyes that follow you around the room in a portrait? Actually, the rest of the face does so too, because it's a flat configuration. But the nose is not indicative. We don't say, a really good portrait's nose follows you around the room. What is it about eyes, which are much more reticent than noses? They're just a pair of rather mobile blobs just on the either side of the bridge of the nose. Why aren't we intrigued by noses that follow you around
the room? Oh, aren't the eyes the windows of the soul and
well,
all that?
Well, of course, then it raises all sorts of questions about why we think the eyes are the windows of the soul. Why is it that we attach such importance to eyes? It looks as if children, early, very, very young infants, are interested in eyes before they know that they're the windows of the soul. We know from looking at children, looking at their mother's face, that they spend much longer looking at the mother's eyes than at any other part of her face. Well, you know, a six-week-old child hasn't any idea that those blobs on either side of her head are affording her the experience of it, the child. So, again, once you start asking these questions, it becomes very problematic. But once again, you see, you get this sort of thing. Oh, why do you have to be so complicated about something that's so simple? Of course eyes are important to us. Yes, but we think they're important long before we know why they're important. And therefore you have to answer that question. Why is it that we're wired up to take such an interest in eyes? Well, that is obvious, because it's eyes that give us some sort of insight, not into people's souls, but into the fact that they're having an experience of you.
It's funny, when I talk to you, you seem, I guess anyone could be, it's very natural, but you seem pleased.